So our text for this morning's meditation is from our Old Testament reading, these words: "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." That's Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, questions have been raised about the banner there behind the lectern, a banner which depicts a stump, and out of that stump, a shoot. It's kind of an odd banner at a glance. Although it's not like we haven't seen something like that before here in Minnesota, right? In fact, it's kind of a common occurrence to have such a shoot growing out of a stump after a tree has been cut down. My neighbor in Blaine, oddly enough, was tormented. He was tormented by shoots coming out of a stump of a big oak tree that he had cut down in the spring one year. He was so happy to have that oak tree cut down and removed, only to have shoot after shoot after shoot pop up out of that stump all summer long. Why do they do that? Why do the shoots grow out of the stumps? Shoots grow out of the stumps because the roots so often are still working. They're still living. They're still alive. Yes, what's visible, it's been cut down. Tree, strong and mighty. A tree that had, in my neighbor's case, stood the test of time for over a century. Growing through harsh winter, surviving the tornadoes of spring, and all sorts of other troubles like bugs and disease, I think for 116 years, if I remember right. Yes, even after the visible strength of that tree had been brought low so quickly with a chainsaw and carted away in a truck, the roots remained. And from the stump then, fed by the roots, the shoots emerged. One of the ash trees in our front yard here in Spring Lake Park is a result of just such a shoot. For having cut down that ash tree that had suffered some sort of setback, all the leaves had fallen off the tree, shoot after shoot after shoot started emerging from the stump. So I cut off all of them except for one. That one shoot is now a tree. A tree there in our front yard. So that banner represents a reality, doesn't it? Shoots so often come out from stumps, stumps that nonetheless continue to be fed by roots. And so the prophet Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, used that common experience, which many witness with regularity, to prophesy the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus our Savior, some 8 centuries before he would be born. The Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, would be the shoot. It would come from the stump of Jesse, that is, the remnant of the once mighty kingdom of Israel. The mighty kingdom that had grown and been known the world over during the reign of King Solomon, especially as people flocked to Jerusalem at that time to see the wealth of Jerusalem, to see the wealth of Israel, and to hear the wisdom flowing from Solomon's mouth. Some 200 years later, however, that once mighty kingdom, like a giant tree, would be laid low. The Assyrian army conquering the 10 tribes of the north, felling that kingdom like a modern chainsaw and taking them into captivity, and then heading south to the land of the final 2 tribes, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Now, Judah and Benjamin would not be conquered by the Assyrians, for an angel of the Lord would be sent to destroy that army. That army of 185,000 Assyrian soldiers camped about Jerusalem. But there would be no deliverance for Jerusalem from a similar Babylonian army, which would arrive over a century later. For the Babylonians who would besiege Jerusalem would indeed destroy it. They would chop it down and carry it off its inhabitants into captivity into what is now modern-day Iraq. So we can imagine those Assyrians being like the woodsman who chops down a tree, leaving a stump that's about 5 feet high, And then the Babylonians coming along and cutting down that 5-foot-high stump to about 1 foot high. With the destruction of Jerusalem and the deportation of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to Babylon, the Davidic line of kings, that is, the kings of Judah who were direct descendants of David, that's the term Davidic, the son of Jesse, came to an end. The last Davidic king being King Zedekiah. We see then in the stump of our banner a visual representation of what happened to the kingdom of Israel. How the prophet Isaiah described the end of the Davidic line of kings. For the worldly power, the worldly success, the worldly glory of what had reached its zenith in the kingdom of Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, was felled like a mighty tree which had grown strong and tall over hundreds of years. But why then? Why had that tree that was Israel been cut down? Why had it been cut down? Well, Israel had rebelled against God. The chosen people of God had grown to hate being so chosen. The children of God for whom God had so richly cared from the time of their release from captivity in Egypt through their journey, their entry into the promised land and establishment as the kingdom of Israel, our loving Heavenly Father had overseen and cared for his people continually, but they would have none of it. Well, that's not accurate. They would have some of it. They would have the riches. They would have the wealth. They would have the glory. They would have the success. They just didn't want God telling them what to do. They didn't want God telling them what to do. So Israel became like so many grown children so often become, rebels in view of their parents and yet still desirous of their parents' wealth for their care and support. Evidence? The 17 prophetical books of the Old Testament, 17, the 5 major prophets, 12 minor prophets, those 17 prophetical books, plus many other prophets like Elijah, all sent by God to the children of Israel, not to tell them how wonderful they were, but to cry out to the children of Israel to repent, to return to the Lord their God, for he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as we so often sing. But they would not. They would not. 17 books, prophet after prophet after prophet, the same message, return to the Lord your God. But they did not. And so the felling of the mighty tree of Israel, the stump. Of course, the same thing happens to us today when we ourselves rebel against God. Whether we admit it or not, such rebellions end with us becoming nothing more than a stump sticking up out of the ground. That's the end result of our rebellion of against God. We ourselves become just like that stump. For our sinful ways of speaking and acting and doing causes what? Relationships to be ruined. Family members to be alienated. Earthly potential destroyed. Income slow to a trickle, reputation lost, possibilities eliminated, and we in our pride and arrogance, just like the children of Israel, continually try to hide, to cover up, to mask our fallen state by dressing up our rebellion, making it look appealing or even virtuous or normal or noble. It's like we, having realized finally that our life has become a stump, we hire one of those chainsaw artists, and he comes along and he turns the stump that we are into the carving of a bear or an eagle or a fish sitting next to the road, staring blankly at the cars of life as they drive by. Yes, impressive, but at the end of the day, still just a stump. And a stump under which the roots dry up and rot away. And over time, the bear or eagle or fish, the persona we took on in our stumphood, our sins, weathers and splits and falls into ruin. Of course, for the stump on our banner, that was and remains the historical kingdom of Israel, David's Israel. The stump remains, but from it has grown a shoot. And that shoot is Jesus Christ. For even though the Davidic kingship ended with King Zedekiah, the family of David, the house and lineage of King David, it didn't die out. The reason Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to be taxed was because they were descendants of King David, both of them. And David was from Bethlehem, the town of his father, Jesse. Any of the sons of that line then could be possible kings, and that then is what Jesus was. So the shoot, the righteous branch emerging from the stump, which was historical Israel. And like Saul, David, and Solomon, who were anointed by the Holy Spirit to be kings of the historic Israel, so would this new righteous branch be. The Spirit of the Lord descending upon Jesus at his baptism, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Unlike the kingdoms of Saul and David and Solomon, however, the kingdom of Jesus would be a kingdom that would never be chopped down. It would last forever. And it would last forever, for it would not simply be a big tree growing in the place of the stump from which the shoot had come. No, it would be a different tree, a spiritual tree, a heavenly tree emerging from that stump. A tree in which all of those who believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior would be grafted in and made part of, no matter what their historical or genetic or ethnic makeup. The kingdom of King Jesus, therefore, would be a different kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness and a kingdom of innocence and blessedness, a kingdom of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, not a kingdom of violence and bloodshed and revenge. Kingdom in which daily our sins are forgiven and our consciences are cleansed because a faith which believes the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of our King Jesus was for us, for you and for me. For where is Christ now, Jesus the Son of David, but at the right hand of God, having ascended to that position of power and great glory after his resurrection from the dead, the throne of his father David, upon which he will sit forever, and from which he daily rules and directs our lives, each and every one of our lives, for our good. It just seems so often, however, that we're tempted to abandon the kingdom of King Jesus, reigning and ruling and directing and guiding us from the heavenly Jerusalem. That is, we would abandon the kingdom of the righteous shoot, the branch, and embrace the stump. The kingdom of the stump. A physical kingdom, an earthly kingdom. For we so want an identity of some sort, a visible kingdom in this world. We want a stump. We want to be part of the best and the greatest and the brightest in the here and now. We want to conquer, to be heralded and glorified. And so we're thrilled when we somehow vicariously experience such things through our favorite sports franchise or corporations whose products we admire or philosophies or ideologies we think to be the best things going. We want somehow to be part of an earthly kingdom of triumph and nobility and wonder like that of King Solomon. But that type of thinking is just what got the children of Israel into trouble. Their focus on the this worldliness of this life. And what is the result of that? Nothing more significant than a chainsaw bear, or a chainsaw eagle, or a chainsaw fish, ultimately next to a road staring blankly as the cars of life pass by. Let us repent of such yearnings and rejoice in the righteous branch, our Lord and Savior Jesus, especially as we head into the new year before us. Another year of being citizens of the kingdom of God, the Israel of God, Scripture calls it, over which our King Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, continues to live and reign invisibly until he appears visibly before us on the last day. For what does our King, our Lord and Savior Jesus, do as he lives and reigns eternally at the right hand of God, but continues to send his Spirit into our hearts and follows that Spirit with his own presence so that we too then, the new man within us, can grow up from that stump. That is our old Adam. Our old Adam is the stump there, which really needs to be cut down within us every day. New man, therefore, emerges out of that stump. That is our old Adam, a spiritual reality, a righteous branch growing out of physical failure to continue to increase in strength and mature and bear fruit within this world. So our banner, visualizing the historical and spiritual reality of our Lord and Savior and King Jesus, is also visualization of who we in Christ actually are. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and to life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing.